Hey there, it's Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle today on Air Talk. A historic cold snap, snow and ice over the President's Day weekend have crippled much of central and southern parts of the United States, and Texas has been hit particularly hard. Forecasters say more ice and freezing temperatures are on the way. The National Weather Service is reporting that icy conditions on the roadways will continue through tonight, and the deep freeze could cause more power outages. Millions of Texans have been experiencing rolling blackouts this week. Dozens of people have died from conditions related to the cold, and this human tragedy is drawing attention to the power grid and how this unpredictable weather and patterns associated with climate change will impact our energy future. I want to welcome James Bushnell, professor of economics at UC Davis, where his research focuses on energy and environmental economics, industrial organization and regulation, and energy policy. And he has served as a member of the Market Surveillance Committee of the California Independent System Operator since 2002. And he's the former research director of the University of California Energy Institute in Berkeley. James Bushnell, thank you very much for being on Air Talk this morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
So give me your top line rundown of what is happening in Texas. Why are we seeing these rolling blackouts, and why is it going on for so long?
Well, this is a type of electricity reliability situation that's just a supply-demand mismatch, where supply has been restricted because of various factors and demand is higher than expected. You know, usually in Texas, demand is higher in the summer. It still is, but right now, because of the extreme cold, there is a surge in the use of electrical heat and other applications. And then on the supply side, there's been some restriction of renewable supply, but the big factor has been just the shortage of natural gas. Texas's majority of Texas's electricity comes from natural gas, and it's being used for heating purposes, and that's led to a supply crunch for using the gas to generate electricity.
And we are hearing, you know, some folks saying things about renewable energy sources. That's been debunked widely I'm so sorry. I think Professor Bushnell might have dropped there for a minute. We'll get him back on the line. We also have, as a guest on Air Talk, Nicholas Abisamra, professor of electrical engineering at UC San Diego. He's president of Electric Power and Energy Consulting, an independent consulting firm that works with the electric utility industry. And he's author of the book, Power Grid Resiliency for Adverse Conditions. And Professor Abisamra, we are certainly seeing adverse conditions in Texas right now. Can you share your reflections? We just heard James Bushnell talk about this demand and supply issue that we are seeing. Can you drill down more on the types of power sources in Texas and why this cold is affecting them?
Yes, of course, and thank you for having me. Let me begin to say that the Lone Star State in this particular event has been alone. The reason for that has been the case where Texas is actually separate from the rest of the country. We have three grids in the United States: the Western grid, where we are, this is WECC; the Eastern grid, this is the bigger portion of the U.S. load, called the Eastern Interconnect, and there is Texas, which means Texas is separate from those, and 90% of Texas is under ERCOT, and basically they are not able to sell anything to the rest of the country, and conversely, in this particular instance, they were not able to get any support from the rest of the country for their problems. Now, what had happened here is what I call the perfect storm. So again, Texas is sitting alone. Now, they are connected to the rest of the country with what I call rubber band connections. These are very small connections, high voltage direct current. They are not really made to ship any appreciable power levels at all. They are, very small. So what happened here, we had a very cold snap all over Texas, over, all the counties in Texas. I forgot the number, like over 250-some were actually affected because of that. And Texas is not known really to have severe cold weather. So a couple of things had happened there. A lot of the folks reverted to inefficient electrical heating to heat their homes. Most of the others used gas. And this is where the problem really started. By using gas, they actually have the first dibs on natural gas, by the way. Most of the generators in Texas, Texas has gas generation as well as wind generation. They lead the country in terms of wind. But wind was not really the culprit here, although I have a couple of words about wind. So by using a lot of gas heat, that really dropped the pressures on the gas lines, which actually also supply the gas-fired power plants. So the two things, the residents used a lot of gas, and so that really took that away from the gas-fired generators, and also the generators or the gas lines saw some drop in the gas pressure. So although Texas, the regulators and ERCOT really planned for cold weather, but they came short, actually.
Yeah, nothing like this has happened in Texas, I'm reading, for 30 years, possibly. Nicholas Abi Samra is with me, a professor of electrical engineering at UC San Diego, and Professor James Bushnell with UC Davis also on the line talking about the power grid in Texas and what it tells us about climate change. Professor Abi Samra, what I'm hearing is this demand made the pressure drop at, for the power plants that rely on natural gas. Was there also a component, though, of cold weather affecting instrumentation, either at the gas-fired power plants and the wind turbines?
Yes, both of these were actually affected. On the wind turbines, a lot of them actually froze. So in Texas, there are two types of wind turbines or wind turbine farms, one which we call the onshore. These are within Texas, and some are close to the shoreline. Now, the ones inside Texas actually saw their power drop because the number of them, the mechanics actually froze. The one close to the shore saw their power actually go up a little bit because of the winds. Hmm. But the net overall was actually negative, about 4 to 5 thousandths megawatts.
And I want to get James Bushnell to jump in here, because that, of course, has caused Governor Greg Abbott and some other Republicans to comment about renewable energies and the vulnerability of renewables in the case of emergencies. Now, of course, as we've been talking about, natural gas, coal, these things provide a good amount of the energy in Texas. So obviously it's not a renewable energy situation. But how do you react to somebody like Governor Abbott saying this is an example of why the Green New Deal could make us more vulnerable to energy crises?
Yeah, unfortunately, I fear that electricity policy is going to become the new surgical masks of 2021. Mm. There isn't a lot of nuance going on in these debates right now. So let's just say this, that with climate change and with our changing grid supply mix, we're going to have both more unpredictable demand because the weather is going to be more extreme. And because the weather is more extreme and we have more reliance on renewable energy, the supply is also going to be more unpredictable. And so we're going to have to adapt to more unpredictability. Now, I think, you know, we need to do it. But to say that there are no consequences at all is an overstatement as well. I think what Governor Abbott is missing is that we are reliant on less dependable supply, but that includes natural gas as well as renewable energy. There were moves early on in the Trump administration to preserve the lives of coal and nuclear plants, so-called baseload generation, because of concerns of an over-reliance on gas. It just doesn't make any sense, though, to keep these massive plants open for cold snaps that last a week every couple years. But we are going to have to think about ways to try to manage this increasing uncertainty. There are much better ways to do it.
I mean, in California, we are able to purchase energy from outside of the state because we're part of this larger Western grid. Of course, Texas is this special example, as Professor Abisamra was talking about. Texas is independent. It is independent from federal regulation. It, you know, has been able to really accelerate renewable development because of this. But there is also this isolationist element that means they can't buy energy from outside. And I mean, that really does make this a very particular case. And I wonder if now in Texas, they're going to be looking at, as you were talking about, more ways to have backup energy generation available, or if this is simply just a once in a several decade situation that they can't possibly plan for, Professor Bushnell.
Yeah, well, it's worth noting that this problem is not restricted to just Texas anymore. The entire Midwest and Great Plains are experiencing, if not true curtailments, really close to having the same kinds of problems. So the isolation does make you more vulnerable to this uncertainty. But just as California, which is heavily integrated with its neighbors, had problems last August, the Midwest is also having those problems. It helps distribute the risk, but it doesn't eliminate the risk.
Professor Abisamra, what's the role of the state and the federal government here to either set regulations or to try to help us prepare for these unexpected weather events? In California, it's wildfires affecting our infrastructure or overloading, hot temperatures overloading our system. And in Texas, typically hot temperatures are the problem, but here we have ice and snow really pushing things to the limit. What kind of regulation or what can be done here to improve preparation, Professor Abisamra?
Well, I'd like to go back to one thing that in this particular situation, I think the corporate is gas much more than wind. Now, having said that, again, we had about 30,000 megawatts of gas being not available and only 4,000 to 5,000 from wind. Now, what can we do? Well, first of all, in terms of planning, you have to have a good, solid plan, knowing that we are going to see these kinds of effects more and more often now with climate change and everything else. So from the federal or the state level, there's not really a lot that can be done from the top down. You really need to do it from the bottom up. So from this particular situation, something needs to be revisited in terms of, are we putting the right planning and design criteria into our systems to make them resilient? Same thing here in California, in terms of, our resources, in terms of our power system or the delivery system and all that. So working from the bottom up and then working with the state and the federal government to make these work. Now, the federal government, in terms of looking at renewable energy as a good solution for the climate change and the pollution and everything else, is a great solution. And this particular incident here has proven that renewables is not really the reason. The other reasons were the most prominent reason.
Mm-hmm. I just, because I'm up against a break, I want Professor Bushnell to jump in here for a last word. How do we make sure that we don't have a replay of what's happening in Texas when I see moms burning possessions to stay warm? I mean, it's just, it's horrible that the stories that are coming out of this cold snap and this ice storm that may get worse tonight. Professor Bushnell, any last comment?
Well, the general problem we have in electricity is that when we have shortages, we don't have a good way of allocating. So we either interrupt some people all the way, while other people get complete service and continue with life as usual. What we need is a way for everybody to reduce their consumption by a modest amount so that overall we balance supply and demand. That's what prices are really good at, but electricity prices that customers pay don't adjust at all during these types of shortages. Some people are being blacked out completely while other people are paying the exact same price they would do on a regular old day. And that's really sort of the crux of why we get these imbalances and we have to just completely cut some people off. So that's the thing we need to fix first.
James Bushnell, professor of economics at UC Davis, where his research focuses on energy and environmental economics. Also joining us was Nicholas Abisamra, professor of electrical engineering at UC San Diego. Thanks to both of my guests for reacting to what we are seeing out of Texas, the overloading of the power grid, and rolling blackouts that are causing a lot of people to struggle to stay warm. Deaths related to the cold are occurring in Texas right now, and things could get worse tonight with the National Weather Service forecasting temperatures to drop again. I'm Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle today on Air Talk. Coming up, we are taking your questions live with our COVID-19 specialist. Our doctor will be here in the house to answer your questions coming up in just a couple of minutes right here on Air Talk.